You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Harold Fanning Jr., and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch. My name is Alex Dunlap. I'm joined by Cody Carpentier. Cody, it's a big day. We're going to be talking about some rookies that could come out this year and shock the world in fantasy football for 2025 season-long leagues as we continue to march along with the updates to the ultimate draft cheat sheet available at rosterwatch.com, along with some of the other tools that we have going up now. Before we know it, we're going to blink. It's going to be July, and we got to be ahead of the curve here, as always. So go over there to rosterwatch.com, check it out if you want to dominate your early drafts here for season-long managed leagues. Cody, before we get into those rookies that could shock the world, I want to ask you about a couple of Jaguars-related things, because I saw a report from John Shipley, who I believe covers the Jaguars for Sports Illustrated.
Yep.
He's done it for a while. I'd never thought much of the guy before, but over the course of the last couple of combines, I've talked to him, and I kind of think he's a good reporter. He's no Nick Underhill, but he's got a good pulse on the team, and he's had some good information for us. And so when I read these reports, I thought that they were interesting. One, he put up a column today asking, is Brenton Strange the best tight end in the AFC South? And then secondly, there was a note that was on Roto World, and I'm not exactly sure where they sourced it from, but they quoted Shipley as saying that he would predict that, like, thinks it's pretty obvious that Travis Etienne's the Jaguars running back one coming into fall camp. So which one do you want to start with? Because I have questions for you about both.
Let's start with Brenton Strange.
Okay, so with Brenton Strange, for one, is he the best tight end in the AFC South? I just to me, the only reason that I think it's interesting is because if you were to ask me who the best tight end is in the AFC South, I'd say, well, it's probably not that good a division for tight ends, because we don't really know, you know, what Tyler Warren is going to be yet. And you go to Tennessee, you think, okay, Chig Okonkwo, they drafted Gunnar Helm. You think about Texans, you know, that's Dalton Schultz. We've talked some about Cade Stover. But when you think about the Jaguars, it feels to me like, you know, we've talked about Brenton Strange, and with Evan Engram gone, the idea that if you just look at his splits with Evan Engram off the field last year, he's like a totally different player, right? And he showed us that he actually has some spike week potential, everything like that. Easy to forget that coming out, he's a really good athlete. Drafted, I think he was drafted in the second. Was he drafted in the second round? I know he was day two. Let me just look that up. Brenton Strange draft.
I think he was right around there.
He was second round. I'm 99% sure.
61st overall, second round.
Yeah. So I find it interesting, and I just get to thinking, we have been getting him on our cheat sheets, but how do you compare him now versus like the Hunter Henry kind of area? it's mainly between him and Hunter Henry, and maybe a little bit between him and Colston Loveland, who we didn't even get to see or hear anything about during during OTAs or mandatory minicamps because he's still recovering from the injury. They're saying that the plan is for him to be good to go for the beginning of fall camp. I just don't know. You know, that's the whole other thing with the Bears. It's like we don't really know what to make at this point of how many two tight end sets they're going to be running with Cole Kmet and Colston Loveland. That also bleeds into the conversation about how often Luther Burden's going to get on the football field. So a lot to kind of unpack there. But I wonder, should just thinking about it being a kind of a better offense, one where Liam Cohen we're projecting, or at least I'm kind of projecting, to be able to get more out of Trevor Lawrence than we've seen anybody else get out of him so far. The offense presumably taking a step forward, getting some really good explosive pieces in there, like Travis Hunter. I just wonder, should we be taking Brenton Strange over Hunter Henry?
Yes, and yes, and yes. This is one. So on Friday, me and Trashman walked through some third-year tight ends that we're kind of expecting to take a step forward and looking for which guy is ready to break out and be the next to join that class. That's the Laporta, Dalton Kincaid, Tucker Kraft group. And we talked about Luke Musgrave and Michael Mayer and their situations. And we ended up, like, Brenton Strange was the guy that we ended up moving the most in Dynasty last week. And he's right now right on the fringe of the top 150 in the Dynasty top 250 over on rosterwatch.com.
In tight end premium or in regular?
In one QB. Okay. And he's tight end 17 overall for us, which puts us now just a touch ahead of consensus. He's around tight end 19-20 on Keep Trade Cut and other services. And, you know, Strange through these last couple of years, 446 yards, 3 touchdowns. If you combine what Ingram did last year and his, you know, missed games and Strange, what he did in replacing him, you combine that, that's, you're looking at between 110, 120 targets potentially. I know that's, you know, concoction of extrapolation there, but if you do that, that's what you got. You got a potentially 100, 110, 115, 120 targets, depending on how that goes through. And I think what we've seen through Strange is this is like a guy that in this offense, they haven't added anything that's really going to, you know, push through him. Like they've tried to bring a Luke Farrell in there a couple years ago, and then Strange just kind of just stayed there, pushed through, pressed through. I like Strange. Trashman likes Strange. I think we like Strange in Dynasty. I think we should like Strange in Seasonal. I would take him ahead of Hunter Henry. I think that offense, you know, there's weaponry there, Brian Thomas and Travis Hunter, and I love Parker Washington, but even if you think about it from the perspective of, you know, for one day last week, we heard like, oh, Brian Thomas might have went down. He might have went off on a cart. And then it was like, well, that was wrong. That was BS. That was a BS report that came out on Twitter for 5 minutes. But it's like if you think about a situation where one guy goes down on that offense, all of a sudden, Strange, you're looking at him in an entirely different light. And, yeah, so I love Strange. But to say he's the best tight end in the AFC South – now, from a fantasy football perspective, I think he's probably the best this year for you to draft. But from an overall perspective, I mean, what are we talking about? Tyler Warren's the best tight end in that division. Well, I don't know if he has played a snap in the NFL or not.
Well, he hadn't. Okay. Well, he hadn't.
Right?
He hadn't played an NFL game yet.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't care. I mean, the guy was drafted like. What are we talking about here? Well, the answer is, if you're talking about veterans, players that have played, it's Strange. Sure. I'll take that. I think he's better than Dalton Schultz. I think he's better. I mean, to Chig's credit, is, you know, a year ahead of Strange. Chig had 1,400 yards and 6 touchdowns right now, which is legitimately second in that draft class behind him that has Isaiah Likely, Kate Otten, Ferguson. He's just behind McBride. Chig's got 6 touchdowns to go with the 1,400 yards. Like, that surprised me when I looked that up earlier. But, like, I think he's better than Chig head up.
Yeah.
I would make an argument. I don't think there's anybody else there.
I'd take him over Chig in fantasy for sure. So, Brenton Strange, just one final thing. It's like, averaged 2.73 points per game in games where Evan Ingram has been healthy as far as PPR. In games where Evan Ingram did not play, in 2024, averaged over 8 fantasy points per game in PPR. So you're just talking about just a major, like basically a non-factor versus a guy who you could slot in as your tight end. and he's had a year of growth, the offensive system getting better. Okay. Now, before we get into the rookies, just wanted to ask you about Travis Etienne. He's going right now on FFPC at 113. That's also where he's going on ESPN on Underdog 117. He's going a lot earlier on the Draft Wizard simulator over on Fantasy Pros with the ADP from people mock drafting over there, which generally is a good indicator for us. And it's been helpful in the past about where things could be moving. He's also higher in the expert consensus at Fantasy Pros, which is always a good indicator as well, because a lot of people do use Fantasy Pros rankings for their drafts, right? Mm-hmm. And he's 103 is in the ECR. So going about a round later than the expert consensus has him pegged. At least on FFPC and on ESPN, what do you make of ETN whenever we talk about the possibility of an improved offense? And, you know, it's sort of, you know, I'm interested in buying into the offense because Trevor Lawrence, we did view him as a high level prospect. If this is the year where things can happen and you can get these guys on the super cheap that are going to be pieces of it, it feels like the value would be, you know, you get the RB1 on an ascending offense. I'm not saying it for sure will be, but it certainly has a chance to be. They've made the right changes. I think they have smart people in place. We've talked about the new GM Gladstone a whole ton on here. Could there be something to like saying, it's like, look, we like ETN. He's been good. It's the final year of his deal. Let's use him. We drafted Bashiel Tutin, but you know, he can be a guy for more of the future. Let's go ahead and run the wheels off Travis Etienne this season. It feels like you're missing out, but not taking that player in the 9th, 10th round.
You know, he's in a good spot for perceived value, but he was a little bit of an older prospect off the rip, first off. So he's 26 right now, in his age 26 season, he'll be 27 at the end of the year. And this is the running back age apex. He's kind of just going through it, gotten through it. I believe it's 25 and a half into 26. So he's right at going downhill. And the one thing we can say about that back
sure right now, 26 and a half.
Huh?
Are you sure it's not 26 and a half?
I thought it was 25 and like 0.8.
Okay.
Maybe that was a couple of years ago. Maybe it's adjusted by now because Derrick Henry's kind of, you know, pulling that thing along with, you know, Nick Chubb and stuff. But here nor there, he's 26. He's right at it, right? So the problem is when you look at this backfield, and I don't have numbers. We don't have numbers on LaQuint Allen's speed, but I can unequivocally say that he's the oldest in that room. And to me, I think he's got he's the slowest, right? You take Tank Bigsby into consideration. Who, you know what, as bad as Tank was 2 years ago,
he
took a big step forward. Don't put the clown nose on. He took a big step forward this year.
Not a clown nose to say that. What was Tank's 40 at the combine?
4.51.
And what was ETN's?
Did ETN run? I don't think ETN ran.
Let me just see. Travis ETN 40-yard dash.
4.4 was pro day.
4.45. He's clearly faster than Tank Bigsby.
Not anymore. I don't think he is anymore.
Okay. Well, agree to disagree. I think Tank Bigsby's slow.
That's fine. But I'm just saying, I think Etienne's got the okay. Maybe speed was the worst way to put this up. Etienne's got the least juice out of that running back room. When you think about Bigsby, Tutin, obviously, and LaQuint Allen. I think LaQuint Allen can run hard. I think he's just a poor man's version of Tank Bigsby. And obviously Tutin is just – he's good. If he can stay healthy, he's going to be a good back. ETN's a good value where he's at if the role stays what the role could and should be.
You're taking him around the same time as Javonte Williams. You talk about no juice.
He's gotten worse and worse every single year. Who's drafting Javonte Williams?
Well, I mean, Javonte
Williams – nobody should be drafting Javonte Williams.
9th, 10th round pick.
Nobody should be drafting Javonte Williams. That's a net zero draft pick.
Javonte Williams is going back to back as far as average ADP, which with Travis Etienne. He's going,
I'll take Javonte in the two, but I want neither.
He's going 95 on ESPN. Etienne's going 113 on both. He has less juice to you than Javonte? Are you kidding me?
I didn't say that. I said I'd rather take Javonte.
Why? Javonte's got Jaden Blue on his team.
Javonte's got a significantly better offensive line.
But
neither of these are good picks.
In the 10th round? I think that they're both fine.
I think they're both very poor picks. I think you could look at all the names right after it. I'd rather have Matthew Golden. I'd rather have my
Golden doesn't go here. Golden's average is getting pulled up by that stupid underdog, 77. He does like you get Matthew Golden in the 12th, 13th round.
I'd rather have Brock Purdy. I'd rather have Keon Coleman. I'd rather have
you get Brock Purdy and
I'd rather have Jordan Mason.
You can't, Cody, man. You need to start doing these sims. As soon as you start doing these sims, you're gonna have a better idea. Well, Jordan Mason is different. Jordan Mason is
better than both.
But you don't have to have Jordan Mason listed ahead of either of them to still get Jordan Mason.
These guys
go around 9, round 10. Jordan Mason's going more like 11th round. You can get them both.
Okay, so give me the names ahead of him. Give me Najee Harris ahead of him. I'll take Ricky Pierce all every day of the week ahead of him. Like, everybody around these guys, I just don't want them. ETN in the backfield with Tootin and a guy like Bigsby who took a big step forward.
Is he running back four?
ETN's got more – what?
As your running back four or something?
What are you gaining from a Javonte?
What are you gaining from Javonte? Well, here's the thing. If you're using the cheat sheet, you're going to get Jalen Blue probably in round 12.
Okay.
And I like having the Dallas backfield locked in. I don't consider Miles Sanders to be anything – like Miles Sanders is the one that's hands off to me.
Well, that's not even a – yeah. But I just think you're looking at both these backfields and there's significantly more juice in those backfields. Guys that can run 4.3s, obviously in Tootin in Jacksonville and Blue in Dallas. I think Tank Bigsby, as much as you may not love him, the guy took a step forward last year and showed that he could run the football, showed that he could actually hold on to the football for a little bit and runs really hard. And that has to mean something. And I don't know what anything looks like with this new regime with Liam Cohen in there, other than the fact that if you show up, before practice starts, that's what we know. We know when Bucky Irving shows up at 4:30 in the morning and practice don't start till 6 or meetings don't start till 6, that goes a long way with Liam Cohen. It goes a long way with everybody. But I don't know who that's going to be. And I'm not willing to bet that on a 26-year-old Travis Etienne that's been banged up the last couple of years, that's dealt with a less friend.
They love him.
Who loves him?
Liam Cohen.
Loves Travis Etienne?
Yes.
Has he been pads?
He just says he's done it
yet. I'm just telling you, this guy's 26 years old. Yes, I love Travis Etienne coming out. Don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying the guy's been. You talk about like inefficient year after year. He's gotten more inefficient since he was a junior in college. Every year he's gotten worse. I love Travis Etienne, but I don't want to touch him.
All right. Well, I mean, we're not getting very much of him right now. I'm wondering if that's a mistake. You apparently don't think so. All right. Speaking of possible mistakes, we're going to talk about running backs and wide receivers, tight ends, whoever you want to talk about that might not be big mistakes to draft in the late rounds of your fantasy draft if you're looking for a player that might shock the world. And for this, man, we're not going to be talking about the guys who you already know. Like, I mean, you know, like to draft like Ashton Jeanty and to. You know, the R.J. Harvey's lined up in a great spot, Caleb Johnson, Quinshon Judkins, all the, you know the guys that are in good spots. We're going to talk about some of these guys that could be like, that could shock the fantasy world. So do you want to start out, Cody?
Yeah, I think first off, I mean, I'm just going to roll it in there because we've already talked about him. And just to reiterate the fact that, you know, there's significant value here and we're going to continue to get him with the cheat sheet, but he's going on, you know, what, 131 overall, 114 FFPC, 167 ACR, way late, Jaden Blue. Like, he has to be at the top of that list because, yes, we've been beating it like a dead horse at Roster Watch, how much we love Jaden Blue, but the national, ethos of fantasy football isn't going to be completely dialed into Jaden Blue until they see some clips of him, you know, in August. So Jaden Blue has to be one that he can 100% shock the sport and jump up really quick into – you know, must have category.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like blues easy. Like if you use the ultimate draft cheat sheet, where if you follow the three simple rules, an expert quality draft is always guaranteed. If you do use the sheet, you'll be getting him. I mean, we get him right now with like 85% exposure, and it's normally we wouldn't want to have that kind of exposure to players, but when he's baked in to get him in the either your third to last or your second to last pick before kickers and defenses and home leagues. It's like, there's like, that's going to be a guy that
if it doesn't hit, we'll just be like, oh, sorry. Like the guy that you were going to pick there anyway, he's on your waiver wire for the first hot, you know, or he's you're tossing him out for the first hot waiver wire pickup anyway. So, I think that Jaden Blue is going to be one of these though, that will be one of these late round gems. All right. I'm going to go a little bit deeper than that. I'm going to say, Dylan Sampson for the Browns is free. And it's just coming out of their mini camps. I saw this quote over the weekend from Deuce Staley, who said that he's been working with wide receiver coach Chad O'Shea to hone his skills in the passing game. And Deuce Staley, of course, everyone knows Deuce Staley, right? One of the really good, well-known running back coaches in the whole league. He says Samson's been meeting with CO in there, going over some of the receiver splits and routes, and just being able to take his game and expand it. It's been awesome. And so what the natural talk has been coming out of that has been like on the, you know, if you listen to like any of the Browns official radio station, and then some of these Cleveland area pundits are saying that they have the chance to be the next Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. They see this as a total 1-2 punch with these two guys. Dylan Sampson, I believe, was an 8% reception share guy at Tennessee, and that was a Tennessee offense that threw the football around. So he's a do-it-all player, one of the best running backs in Tennessee history, the leading rusher in all of the SEC last year, and an SEC that had a bunch of really good runners. So I think everybody's so interested in Quinshon Judkins, and you're fine to be, but Sampson is out there. He looks really good. I went and watched some of the clips from rookie mini camps. He's wearing number 22. He's catching the football. He's moving really, really well. It might be a little bit more of a dynasty thing, but gosh, for your last pick before kickers and defenses, I'm beginning to think that we're taking Jarquez Hunter, but that almost feels like that's a little bit more handcuffy than a guy that could come in and be an immediate 1B in an offense that really doesn't have much else doesn't have much other talent.
Mm-hmm. I don't hate it. Anytime you talk about these running backs in the late part of your drafts, it's people you should be targeting. So I definitely think we should be getting.
You think we should take Sampson over Jarquez Hunter with that 14th pick?
I think before training camp, I think we should have exposure to both, but I think you should have a touch more exposure to Dylan Sampson just because of the art of the offenses that they're sitting in. Where you look at the Rams, it's like we know Kyron's there, and you know that offense is more apt to pass the ball to Puka and Devontae Adams. Where it's like you look at Cleveland, you're like, this team has to run the football. And we know Dylan Sampson can do that damn well. So I think there's plenty
of options. Really well, dude. He's a really good runner.
And he's got, oh, I know he's going to be competing with Quinshon. Everyone loves Quinshon, but like Dylan Sampson's going to get his reps.
Yeah.
All right. I'll go to New England here. Third round pick, Kyle Williams. I feel like he should potentially be going earlier than he is right now. Right now is sitting at a 157 overall on average, 200th on Draft Wizard, 182 on ESPN. He's up to 119, 120 underdog in FFPC. I think that's going to continue to grow as we get closer to the season. I'm not vouching for him to be like hey, you got to go draft him. You have to draft him in seasonal. This is more of name of the show is players that could shock this season. It's like he could shock you. Not only because he's going to be starting, he's going to be in the three wide sets in New England. When you look at New England right now, it's not great. They got DeMario Douglas there, and they got Mac Hollins barefoot playing. Stephon Diggs, I heard an interesting thing today. I was listening to Curran. What's his first name? Tom Curran?
Tom Curran. Yeah.
He was on with, I think it was Rich Eisen on Friday. And he was saying, so we've seen Stephon Diggs out there working out and stuff. I think he was at OTAs a couple weeks ago, and he's been out there, but he hasn't taken his physical yet. Did you know that was a thing? Did you know you could like be traded and then work out without taking your physical?
Yeah, that's a weird deal, man.
He hasn't taken his physical yet because supposedly there's thought that he could potentially not pass it, which would like negate obviously his contract. And I don't know what that would do from that perspective, but that's what Curran and Rich Eisen were talking about. And I was like, that's a wild dynamic. And Eisen was like, well, could they potentially put him on PUP and that could protect? I don't know. Anyway, Kyle Williams has looked good in what we've seen so far on X. I know people are saying, I've already seen it in comments and other shows, well, you guys are so quick to forget about Jalen Polk and Javon Baker. It's like, well, here's the deal. We're not being so quick to do that as much as New England's being so quick to say, hey, we want Kyle Williams. And I know it took him until fifth year to have 1,000 yards in college, but Kyle Williams is a good football player and he's grown a lot through the process. And this receiving room isn't going to be this big daunting task for him to kind of take over when you talk about, you know, like we just said, Mac Hollins is the world, just Kendrick Bourne's of the world. I think Kyle Williams, if he can establish a connection early with Drake May, and we'll learn it through training camp, if they have a connection there, this is a guy that can burst onto the scene as a rookie.
All right. Another guy that can, he's got total competition. I think this is going to be shocking, not because of where he was drafted or because of the prospect that he was coming out, but generally thought of as one of the worst landing spots that there could be for a player, at least coming in as a rookie for an immediate contribution, was Emeka Egbuka. But I'm getting him, I'm sometimes getting him now in like the 12th round of these simulations. And I like it, man. I like getting Egbuka on my team. And look, I was reading on Pewter Report earlier today. There's an article that just went up over the weekend saying, coming out of camp, Emeka Egbuka was the talk of Bucks minicamp. Now, Chris Godwin is, you know, he might not be ready to start the season. So obviously he was able to, he was obviously able to come in and, get more reps, right? Just get more work. And the whole talk with them with over a Pewter Report is the same thing that we've said since the very beginning, Cody. The team that he goes to, we want him to go to a team where he can play early because he's the most pro ready. He's not the best. He's not the most talented of all these guys, but he's the most ready. He's the cleanest. And I think if he has the opportunity, I just think Egbuka is just so good. I think he's so good. He's so clean. And what it was is, you know, they have the Jalen McMillan quote that we've talked about before about how quickly he's picked up the offense, about how he's really serious about practice and already knows damn near half the playbook. I'm really excited for his growth and his future here. They're talking about how because of Egbuka and the draft capital the Bucks expended on him, that he's basically rendered Trey Palmer as being useless. They're hoping they can ship Trey Palmer off to the Steelers, apparently, because the Steelers showed some kind of little interest in Trey Palmer before.
Little Perkins replacement.
Yeah.
Pickens. I don't know why I said Perkins. Pickens.
Perkins. Yeah. I knew what you were saying. I think for, you know, this isn't about the opportunity as much as it is the talent and the cost. And I'm not sure, I don't have the ADP sheet pulled up right now, but as far as what the simulations are, okay, so here it is. Too many tabs pulled up. As far as what the simulations are showing, yeah, so 140, 145 on ESPN, 137 on the Draft Wizard, and 144 as far as the expert consensus. Now he's going at 94 on Underdog, 111 on FFPC. So it could be that the Underdog bros are the same guys that are the, you know, the people watching this show. They're dynasty guys. They're super nerdy about the draft and they know Emeka's good and everything. Like, but I just think once we get around to your normies in your home league, no one's going to be taking Emeka Egbuka. They're going to say like, dude, don't they still have Chris Godwin and Mike Evans?
Mm-hmm.
So late round, like Cody was saying earlier, we'd like to take these upside running backs, but if you're in a spot where you need, you know, you went running back heavy, you need like a wide receiver five, I think you could do a lot worse than Emeka Egbuka. You got one more, then I'm going to totally shock you with my last one to get us out of here, Cody.
I'll give you one more, but I'm going to list a couple that are just kind of like top of dome. They're getting more heat over, you know. I don't think Tyler Shook really should apply here because he's going to probably be the starter, I would presume. I think Pat Bryant's gotten a lot of helium from Sean Payton, but the one I'm going to go to is one that we really, man, we're not big Jim DK fans, not the biggest Jim DK fans, wide receiver from Florida. This guy runs 4.3. You talk about this Tennessee Titans offense that Cam Ward's looked excellent in the stuff we've seen. Hopefully we get to see him in camp. But that offense right now, the wide receiver room's loaded with just randomness, right? Tyler Lockett, 30 plus years old, Van Jefferson, speed, but toast. Calvin Ridley, 30 years old plus. Alec Amanner comes in there, fourth round pick. Chim was a fourth round pick. We love Xavier Restrepo, right? He's also one that could surprise. Treylon Burks is always the spring, the fall thing with Treylon Burks. Jim Dike got the speed, did it a little bit at Florida. If he establishes a connection with Cam Ward here, he's a guy that isn't even on any radar right now from the fantasy football perspective. We don't have an ADP for Jim Dike. He's a guy that could – it might be week four. It might be week five. But he could shock you, really propel this offense to take that next step forward. Because if there's one element that's missing, it's outside of overall talent, speed. And Jim Dike has the speed in Tennessee.
Okay. Here's my final one. Okay, so what if I told you there's a player who's going for free right now, totally free, and this player was in the 2025 rookie class, had the second best yards per route run, is a size speed freak that's 6'4", runs a 4.3, and he was among the top half on our roster watch on-field performance grades for route running in the at the combine. And the reports are out of minicamp that he is running ahead of his much higher drafted rookie counterpart. Would you, and this is on an offense with a new head coach and a better quarterback, and he's running with the first team over the other rookie that was drafted ahead of him. Would you be interested in that player?
Well, if you put it that way.
Well, if you put it that way, then if you put it that way, which is the way I'm putting it, then you have to be interested in Dante Thornton.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.